Not that cricket. Welcome to yet another episode of the Clubhouse Inn podcast. My name is Larry Quiridai. Getting you in touch and close to what has been happening in cricket in Zimbabwe. As I always say that, we want to get you as close to the game as possible. The updates I got for you today is the under-19s, the Pro 50, and also the men's 2022 D20 World Cup global qualifier that Zimbabwe is part of. But I start off with, of course, the news from a week and some change ago that the women's tournament, the ICC Women's World Cup 2021 qualifier that is happening in Harare had to suddenly end, folks. Okay, it suddenly had to end. And that was because flights had been cancelled coming out of Zimbabwe. Fly Emirates is the one that usually takes a lot of these teams back to United Arab Emirates and then all over the world. Suddenly that stopped because of the Omicron variant. So the teams needed to get out. And if the tournament had carried on, they wouldn't be able to go home. The ICC also explored different options to have the matches going on, but that didn't work out. It also didn't help that there was an outbreak in the Sri Lankan camp of COVID-19. The last one resulted in a match between the Sri Lanka and the West Indies not taking place. And so, yeah, I suppose it was getting a bit strange for everybody. The good news, it wasn't because of Zimbabwe's fault. So Zimbabwe did not have COVID-19 outbreaks in any other team or whatever the case may be. So it's a good credit to Zimbabwe that up to that point, they were holding a very successful tournament. But there was really nothing they could do when suddenly planes couldn't fly out. And the same thing sort of happened. Remember when Pakistan women and the Zimbabwe women were playing, and then the Emirates just decided, oh, look, we're going to stop flights to Zimbabwe. That was in around February. And after one match, the tournament had to be called off. Oh, not the tournament, but the series had to be called off. So, yeah, it sucks. Totally sucks, mate. But what I feel for is, Thailand, because they had won three matches and they were shoo-in to qualify for the stage. What's the next stage? The Super Six stage. And being in that Super Six stage would have allowed them to take part in the ODI Championship, which the ICC only insists should have 10 teams. So they were one of the best teams in the tournament. They've been winning matches, yeah, left, right, and center. They did lose one to Pakistan, but they'd won three matches, one of them against Zimbabwe. I'll talk a bit about that a little bit later. But, you know, the thing that is a bit annoying is this ODI Championship. The Women's ODI Championship runs through a cycle. And Zimbabwe being a test and ODI nation is not part of that. So, which means Zimbabwe and Thailand were shown a lot of capability. And between them, and if you look at the island who are part of that ODI Championship, there's not a lot between those nations. So they've lost out on a lot of ODI action that is scheduled against much stronger sides, which actually improves countries like Zimbabwe. For Zimbabwe, I think going forward, we might have a chance to have a relook at the technical department. In that match against Thailand, which Zimbabwe lost, Cristobal Chatonzwa was brought in at a period where everybody thought Precious Marange would have made a lot more sense. But I don't know what happened. Is the coaching decision was flabbergasted. We were flabbergasted by it. It was a horrible decision. Cristobal is a known accumulator of runs, and Zimbabwe needed to go at a rate of knots. I think at that point they needed about seven and over. You're not going to get that from Cristobal. She's not that sort of person. She's not a big hitter, but Precious Marange is. So in the end, it was kind of weird. Zimbabwe lost by about eight runs or something ridiculous like that. And it's annoying because you know that match was there for the taking. And then you see she's dropped the next match where you think, oh, wow, this is one that make more sense against the U.S. side who had posted a very low score. I was there as an announcer. I remember it started raining at about, it was about 11, 12. I'm like, oh, Zimbabwe and his weird luck. And then it stopped raining. and they were bowled out for a pretty reasonable score, like in the 130s or something like that. And, you know, Zimbabwe were let off in the last minute, really, because they ended up winning by one wicket. You know, it would have been ridiculous. I was there and everybody was sitting in the media tent was saying, you know what, we might as well just forget about cricket in Zimbabwe at this rate. the stadium announcer, as I was said, and I had to say and say, Zimbabwe have got one wicket in hand and they need 15 runs or something ridiculous like that. At any time that it was happening, I remember there was a time that other people said, like, oh, you know, we need to take footage of US winning, picking up the first win against an ODI full member. And just like Thailand picked up a first win against the ODI full member when they played Zimbabwe. They're like, oh, we're just like Arsenal in football. We just give, when everybody's having a bad run, they just come to play Zimbabwe and just get, then, you know, and they get a result. So it's up 50-something for two at some point. They ended up getting, you know, winning by one wicket, chasing a modest score. Not sure about when women's cricket is back. Probably there is domestic women's cricket that will come. I'm thinking probably in the new year. But this whole situation with the Omicron and so forth has implication of the Zimbabwe under-19 travel to the West Indies for the World Cup next year, because they'll need to travel either late this year or early next year. So if players do not get off the ground again like they do, I don't know if they have to fly through and jump through hoops or get a chartered flight or just go the New Zealand route and pull out. New Zealand have pulled out, so, and they're replaced by Pakistan. No, by Scotland, I beg your pardon. Zimbabwe have had very few preps for the 2022 Under-19 World Cup, and it's going to be tough. They have Afghanistan, Pakistan, Papua New Guinea in Group C. And in the best of times, they probably should beat two of the three. Pakistan will probably be a bit more difficult. But they had very few in terms of cricketing that has taken place to prepare them for the tournament. And speaking of this, now of the senior men's side, Afghanistan tour of Zimbabwe is obviously off. Rashid Khan and his friends are out at the Big Bash League in Australia, the T20 League there. This has nothing to do with COVID-19 outbreaks and so forth, but the troubles of the Afghanistan Cricket Board is having with Taliban government interference in the country's cricket. They're not suspended yet, but the ICC has set up a committee to see how they can save this situation pretty much. So the next time we have international cricket for Zimbabwe is scheduled for Sri Lanka beginning of next year. Now, still speaking on the men's international game, the unconfirmed Group B lineup for the 2022 ICC Men's T20 World Cup qualifier that is scheduled for to be played in, wait for it, Zimbabwe in July 2022. That's another event for Zimbabwe, guys. Yeah, good times. I'm just very excited that Zimbabwe keeps getting these tournaments. And as I said, it's confidence in from the ICC in what Zimbabwe has been up to. So it's one of two global tournaments that take place for the final stage qualification process to the 2022 ICC Men's T20 World Cup in Australia. The ICC has not confirmed, but the leaked teams are in Zimbabwe's Group B are Hong Kong, Jersey, Netherlands, Papua New Guinea, Singapore, Uganda, and the United States. Two teams go through that. Zimbabwe should get one of the two slots. But we have lost to Singapore before. So, you know, our boys are capable of silly results. We hope it doesn't happen. The teams in Group A are Bahrain, Canada, Germany, Ireland, Nepal, Oman, Philippines, and the United Arab Emirates. Now, as I say, the ICC has not confirmed this. This has been from various sources all over the internet. And finally, let's talk about the Pro 50 Championship, which is the one-day tournament, the premier one-day tournament for Zimbabwe. Rocks finally lost their first match in the final group stage match against when they played Mountaineers, losing by 8 wickets. Rocks have already qualified for the final on 14 December 2021 at Harare Sports Club, I think it was taking place. So looking at the group as it stands right now, Rocks having played 8 matches, have won 6, lost 1, and there was no result in one. So they have 65 points. Now, if you look at it, Mountaineers are second. So they're in pole position with 40 points. They've won four and lost two. Eagles are third with having played six matches, won three, lost two, and no result in one. Tuskers are fourth with six matches, won two, lost four. And Rhinos, Mountaineers on 40, Eagles on 35, and Tuskers on 20. Rhinos, who are winless this season after six matches, are on minus 3 points because they were docked points for a slow over rate. So they're in negative points territory, and they play Tuskers, who are pretty much out of it, really, because if Eagles or Mountaineers are playing back-to-back matches against each other, that's a straight shootout. If Mountaineers win one and Eagles win the other, then Mountaineers go through. But if Eagles win both, well, then Mountaineers are in a spot of bother, aren't they? The other result that could happen is if they draw, the net run rate is will come into play. Because if they draw, but look, if they draw, permutations and compensation, if they have a net no result in one of the matches, and the second match, Eagles beat Mountaineers, they'll be on the same number of points, which is... they won't be. It was straight points in situation because there'll still be 5 points difference between the two. So Eagles need to win one match if the other match is kicked, doesn't take place. Mountaineers merely need to win one match in order to make it through. And they will rely on the skills of Ben Compton, who has been a revelation for them this season, with a high score of 102 in six matches. He is the leading run scorer for the tournament this season with 251 to his name, and is averaging 41.83. Tinom Tombozi is second with 221, with 93 as his highest score. Sean Williams is Tuskers is on 209 with a highest score of 86. And then we also have Sikandar Raza, who played seven matches. He got 207 runs and a highest of 60 with two half centuries in there. Yeah, so pretty awesome. Sean Williams has got three half centuries, and Tinom Tombozi also got three half centuries. Kevin Kasuza has gotten some form late in the game. He's on 202 runs. He's got one half century. So he's got a couple of nice little scores he's put together. He's 40.4 is his average. Looking at the highest scores in the tournament, Regis Chakava with 122. He's from Eagles. Craig Irvin has got highest of 118. He's from Tuskers. Ben Compton has got highest of 102. Tony Munyonga has got highest of 95. And Tinom Tombozi with 93. And then looking at the highest wicket takers, Sean Williams of Tuskers. He has got he's got 13 wickets in six innings. Tendai Chatara has got 12 in 5. Blessing Mzarabani with 12 from 7. Elliot Masugu with 10 from 5. And Trevor Mtsamba with 10 from 7. And finally, bowling figures per innings. Ernest Masugu has got a 6 for 50 from 9.5 overs. Trevor Mtsamba has got 5 for 29 from 8 overs. Sean Williams has 5 for 34 from 9.5 overs. And Tashinga Msekiwa has got 5 for 68 from 8.0 overs. Now, in all of this, the thing that is a little bit disappointing is that there was an early flurry of hundreds, and that seems to have died off. And it kind of goes to form with our ODI format in that we don't have many hundreds that are happening in ODIs. And that's something that's going to have to be fixed, especially when we're looking at the ODI Super League matches coming up. That is something that's urgently going to need to be fixed. So I'm hoping that some work is going to be done there. And whether it's Stuart Matixinieri or they're bringing in some extra help to come and fix the batting issues. Our batting woes need to get fixed, because as long as you're not getting people getting big scores, what's going to happen is that you get a team like Sri Lanka. They score hundreds on the regular, and they've got the brilliant Hasananga at the moment bowling for them. So matches next year, in the beginning of next year, are going to be hard, people. They're going to be hard. But before I go, some very sad news. The passing of a young fella by the name of Mabongwe Ndlovu, who played for Queen's Cricket Club. The message came out and says, with deep sadness and profound sorrow that we learnt of the passing of one of our very own Mabongwe Ndlovu yesterday after a short illness. The message came out on Sunday, so he passed away on Saturday. On Monday, so he passed away on Sunday. A young, bright fella, the life of many a moment with the Queen's family, a friend and a brother, a son, one of the purest strikers of a cricket ball, cannon of an arm. He will sorely be missed. They just aren't the right words to express the enormity of this, of his departure. Their hashtag RIP Amai. Emakandini Cricket Club came out and also said, "We stand with your Queen's Cricket." And Emakandini Cricket Club, also in Malawi, said, "Rest easy, big fellow. We stand with you, Queen's Cricket." A big loss for Queen's Cricket and Malawi Metro Cricket. And at the clubhouse and podcast, we send our condolences to his family. Have any thoughts? At Quidditch is my Twitter handle. This podcast is brought to you by Three Men on a Boat as a publisher. And also, if you on my email, larry@3-mob.com, what would you like me to find out about you a bit more? I'm going to be, I'm lining up some retired cricketers interviews to find out what life after cricket is like. But as soon as I get those, then we'll get some going. But for now, yeah, thank you very much. Have a careful time of it, guys. The Omicron variant is here, and it's no fun. It's no fun. It's a terrible variant. It's not big. The scientists say people are not going to get as sick as expected. It's not more dangerous than Delta, but it spreads a lot quicker, and the cases in Zimbabwe are rising. So please, please be careful out there. Just be careful. I know it sounds a bit rotten, but maybe we might have our Christmas a little bit early next year. Maybe have it in January when things settle down a little bit. Otherwise, it's Larry. As I always say from where I come from, Asiluisa Sevenza. Take care of yourself.
Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show.